Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for everything that you do for us. Please be with us tonight. Please hide me behind the cross, Lord, and may Jesus shine forth, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Created for something better, how to satisfy your deepest desires. You know, science is really making big impacts against evolution. When you look at the evolution creation fight or conflict, if you will, things are coming real close. And as a matter of fact, one of the guys that is leading this charge on the creation side is Philip Johnson. He is a man that wrote a book called The Wedge of Truth, talking about creation and how important it is. The more scientists look at the universe, they look at the human body, the more they study, the more and more they're coming to a conclusion that there must be some sort of intelligent design that designed our world. In other words, our world did not just happen. There had to be some intelligent design that created. And you stop and you think of the eye, how delicate it is, the ear, some of the other organs in the body that could not just evolve. They had to be created. As a matter of fact, when I worked as a chaplain in Fortuna, about 2.5 hours from here, we had a case in Fortuna where several people would wake up dead, about 10, in a span of about 3 months, people just woke up dead in their beds. You caught that, huh? They were dead. Did not wake up. Okay? Now they came in, the coroner came in, and then they studied and they looked, and everything looked fine. They started talking to the families, and one of the common denominators on this 10 people was that they were all smoking marijuana before they went to bed the night before. And what happened is they laid in a certain position. They were all found in a certain position. You know that there's a little, almost like a little tap down your throat here so that when you drink water, it'll let your body know to go to the stomach, right? When you take air, it tells your body to close the stomach and it can go to the, you know, the lungs. Now, there's sometimes when you drink water and it doesn't quite get it over there, right? And what happens? That water comes out through your nose and who knows where else. Well, what happened with these people is that marijuana, as you know, has a paralyzing effect. And what marijuana was doing to this little valve, if you will, in the body, it was paralyzing it. So that when people went to bed, it shot off the air into the lungs. Something like that, folks, does not evolve. It has to be created by an intelligent design. And so we have a creator. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham, who doesn't know Billy Graham here? I mean, everyone should know Billy Graham. All right, you don't know Billy Graham. I'll introduce you to him. You know, that's all right. Billy Graham said that the gospel, the last gospel, the last message that is to go out to the world can be found on the chapter, on the book of Revelation, chapter 14. That's what he said. And this is what Revelation 14:7 says, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come." We're going to be talking about that a little bit later this week. "And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, the springs of water." And of course, this is the God that judges the world because he created the world. That's what the text says. The reason why he has the right to judge the world is because he is the creator of the world. He made the seas, the stars, and everything that's in there. You know, the beast of Revelation 13 is telling us to worship the beast, but God says, no, this is the creator. This is the one that has made this planet. And so therefore, evolution is a lie. Evolution is really something that is not taking place. God is saying, remember. Now, keep in mind that evolution, and a lot of evolutionists, a lot of scientists agree that there are some minor changes that happen within species. Okay? I have a little dog that is 6 pounds. And I have a medium dog that is 25 pounds. Are they both dogs? Yes. Did they both come from perhaps a big old wolf? Probably. But you see, when you mix within the species, you can manipulate and make different variations, if you will. But you're not going to get a horse out of a dog. You understand that? Okay? That's what cannot happen. There is some changes within, but the Bible says that God is a creator, and He, as a matter of fact, tells us to remember Him as a creator. And as long as we remember that He is the creator, we would be all right. As a matter of fact, I can tell you tonight that if people would remember that He is the creator, there would be no evolutionists today. I'll prove that to you a little bit later as we move along here. But you see, God created this world. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells the story. It's a very simple story. It's almost too simple, if you will. Genesis 1:1 says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that created it. He took it upon His hand. He spoke and it was done, and He told us a story. So if you've never heard the story, let me give it to you, and I'll go through it quite fast here. Genesis 1:2 says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So God Himself was involved. God the Spirit was involved. And also the Word was involved. Revelation says, or John actually says, that the Spirit, as it was moving on there, and then John 14 tells us that the Word of God was also involved. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing that was made was made. So God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father are all intricately involved in creation, in the creation of this planet. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It was Jesus Christ who came to this planet. And the glory as the Father, the glory of the Father, the only begotten one of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus shows up here. And Paul says, as he is preaching to the Gentiles, he remembers and tells them, this is in Ephesians 3:9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So He is the creator. The creator, you know, creation appears in the Bible from page to page. So again, you probably heard this when you were in kindergarten or even preschool in your church. And if you went to church as a little kid, you heard this. You probably sang all of this. But here's the story of the creation. Genesis 1:3 says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. There was, Genesis 1:6 says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let them divide the waters from the waters. So there was waters. He divided waters from the waters, waters on top, waters on the bottom. Then thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Genesis 1:8 says, and God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Continues to say, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So you have water, you have dry land now, you have water above, you have water underneath, then dry land starts coming up. Genesis 1:10 says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gardening and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. So He's creating all of this, and everything looks good. He's separating the waters from the waters. earth is coming up, land is coming up, things are happening. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. So now you have water, you have heaven, you have firmament, you have earth, and now you have plants coming. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, you remember all of this, right? This is all review for you. Okay, this is pretty easy. God is creating the earth. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament in the heavens, and divide the day from the night. And let them be signs for seasons, for days, and for years. So now he sets up stars, moon, sun, so that there can be a cycle, if you will. And let them be lights to give light on the earth. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. The sun and the moon. He made also the stars, the Bible says, to give light to the earth. And God saw that it was good. Okay, so you're starting to see a pattern here. God is saying, hey, this is all really good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. So now you have the sun, the moon, the stars, you have land, you have grass, you have fruit trees, you have water, you have all of this stuff coming together, and it's looking really good. Genesis 1:20 said, then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So now birds are coming into the scene. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So now all kind of animals in the seas, all kind of animals in the air, all kind of animals in the land are coming. So everything is looking very beautiful. The creation is coming together. Genesis 1:24 says, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind. You're starting to see a pattern here. Everything was after its kind. You see, there is, again, mutation, if you will, if I can use that word, within each kind. It doesn't go out of its kind. It has to stay within its kind. It's kind of weird when you know, scientists start crossing some animals. The other night I was watching, I think it was Animal Planet, and they have made a cross. You know, this never happens in the wild. But when they have animals in captivity, they had a lion and they had a tiger. And in captivity, sometimes they don't have rooms to separate them, so they put them sometimes in the same place. And well, what happened is that one lion mated with one tiger. Okay? And what do you get when you mate a lion and a tiger? You get a liger. Some of you saw the same program. And it's this humongous beast. It's bigger than the lion. It's stronger than the tiger. But it's humongous. Now, if this animal, I mean, they could never release this animal into the wild because it's just a different kind. But, you know, they keep it. But again, it's two cats. Now, you know, I haven't seen it. But I heard that you can take a donkey and cross it with a zebra. And you get a zebra that basically has half of its body in stripes and half of its body as a donkey. So in Spanish, we would call it a zebra burrito. You see? So, but again, that's still within the same species. Donkeys, horses, if you will. So animals, all the beasts came, each according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:26 continues to say, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are working in all of this, making man now according to their likeness. Did you know that you were made in the image of God? Oh, you're special. You are created in the image of the Almighty God. Oh, I know that we sometimes don't feel that way because we have experienced 6,000 years of sin. But we were made in the image of God, and we will ultimately reflect the image of God when He comes. Because the Bible says that when He comes, we will be like Him. Oh, it'll be awesome. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Oh, I like this. As a fisherman, oh, I love that. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Have children, fill the planet, fill everything. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So God has created, He has taken the water, and He has divided the waters from the waters. He has put the waters on top, and He has called that a firmament, a heaven. He has put gather all the waters underneath. He has put them together and has called them seas. Now earth comes up on the earth, then He puts grass, or on the land He puts grass, He puts trees, He puts animals, He puts the birds, He puts the animals in the sea. He creates man, and He puts him in charge of everything. Beautiful creation. It says it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the 6 days. Was God done at this point? Psalm 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood still. The power of God, He just spoke the word and it happened. He just said it, and it was made. Oh, a zebra came out. A tiger came out. An eagle came out. You know, whatever it was, I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't know if the animals were the same, but, you know, God spoke, and it was made. Light, there was light. Moon, and there was a moon. Genesis 2:1 says, thus the heavens and the earth, and all the host of them were finished. So God is done. He had clouded and He had made this planet into the most beautiful thing that you ever saw. The beautiful sunsets, the beautiful sunrises, everything, the ocean, the moon, the stars, everything He created, it was awesome. It was very good, God said, and He put Adam and Eve in charge of it all. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. But you see, God was not done yet with the creation. There was yet one more day. Genesis 2:2 says, and on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Was God tired? Was God just so sweaty and sore that He just needed to take a rest? No, God isn't like us. You know, we go hiking for a little bit and, oh man, there's muscles that, you know, you didn't know even existed. You go do something, you know, hammering or something that you don't regularly do, and there's things that happen to you at night with your body that you have no clue. You know, things start hurting and twitching all of a sudden. Okay? God wasn't tired. The Bible says that He spoke. He said the word and it created. He said the word and it appeared. So He wasn't tired. This is the story, the history of the heavens and the earth. God says that He sanctified the seventh day. So day one, He created the light. Day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, He created. Day seventh, He rested. Now the seventh day, it said that He sanctified it. What does it mean to sanctify? It means to set aside for a holy use. It means to set aside, to remember. Mark 2:27 says the Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath was created so that man can remember what God had created. You see, that's why I tell you and I can prove to you that if we would have remembered this from the beginning, we would have always remembered that we were created in the image of God. I know some of us act like monkeys, but that doesn't mean we came from the monkeys. Some of us act, you know, but we didn't come from that, folks. We were created by the Creator God. And if we would have just remembered that we have a Creator, there would have never been an evolutionist. We would have remembered that we have a Creator. Mark 2:28 says, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. You see, God created this so that we would have a special relationship. It's like your husband and your wife. Those of you that are married, you know that you have to pay attention to your mate. You know that you have to spend some time with your mate. Even when you go work and you do all of the stuff, it's always good to take time and spend some special moments with your husband, with your wife. It makes the relationship much better. Now, what happens when you don't do that? If you go for a long time without spending any quality time with your husband, what happens to that marriage? You start having problems. What happens if you don't spend time with your family? What happens if you don't spend quality time with your children? You know, they say that fathers should spend at least a few minutes of quality time with their children. But you see, when you don't do that, those relationships start to strain. So God created a day so that we could remember and spend in a special relationship with Him to strengthen the relationship. Then He gave it written to us in the Ten Commandments so that we would remember. Is the only commandment that says remember. Is the only commandment that starts with the word remember, but is the commandment that has been forgotten by almost the whole world. You see, this is a special day that God is calling us to remember and worship Him as Creator. Oh, I don't know about you, but this time of year, you know, and I'm new to Brookings, so I'm like the new kid on the block here, but this time of year, the last 2 months, there's some flowers that are coming out there. You perhaps have been here more than I have been, and you perhaps are used to those flowers, but when those flowers come up, I mean, just look at this here. The flowers, beautiful colors. It just reminds us that there is a Creator. When you see the birds flying and you see the everything around us, the beautiful scenery and the nature that is around us, it leads us to go back and remember the fact that we have a Creator. You see, if God's people would have remembered, they would have never gone searching after other gods, because they had the Creator God. They knew the Creator God, but they forgot. They forgot. God finally came in, started training them again, and took them to this through the sea. He used Moses to get them out of Egypt, and then He got them out into the desert. Now, keep in mind that Moses had over 600,000 men. That is not counting women and children. He's leading all of these people through the desert. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to the desert, but there's not a lot of fruit in the desert. There's not a lot of wheat and corn and food in the desert. So He has all of these people. And you know, there's no food in the desert. So God provides food for them. Actually, Exodus 16:4 says, Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. So as God is taking His people out, He's reminding them that He's the Creator. He has given them food. He says, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. and I may that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So here's the thing. Here's 600,000 men going out with Moses into the desert. There's no food. There's no mangoes. There's no apples. There's no bananas. There's nothing along the way. So God rains food. And here's how it works. It rains down in the morning. And then people go out and collect it. And then they prepare it. Okay? And it shall be that on the sixth day they shall prepare for what they bring in. And it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So every day they go out, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, they'll collect for that day. The sixth day, they'll collect twice as much. Now here's the interesting thing, you know, if you were lazy and you were sleeping and, oh man, I don't want to go out and collect, Maybe it'll be there a little bit longer. Well, the Bible says that as soon as the sun came up and the heat got on it, it disappeared. So if you didn't get out there, you couldn't eat. Okay, so people had to get out and get it. But on the sixth day, they had to collect twice as much because there wasn't any on the seventh day. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." Okay? So he's telling them this because there is going to happen for the very first time, manna is going to rain down. It's going to cover the whole desert. People are going to come out. They're going to gather. They're going to gather for their families. They're going to do everything that they need to do and prepare the food. They're going to have the food. They may not have the mangoes, but they'll have food. So they gather it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. So if you weren't quick on the draw to get up early, you didn't get any. Now if you figure, man, you know what? Tomorrow I got a meeting, so I'm going to collect a whole bunch and save it for a couple of days. Well, it didn't work either. You had to go out every day. Because if you got too much, it went rotten. It was only for the day. On the sixth day, though, you collected twice. And it was so. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. So here they are. They have a system. Every day they collect. On the sixth day, they collect twice as much because on the seventh day, there's not going to be any. Exodus 16:23 says, "Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord.'" So it's a day of holiness, a day of worship, if you will, to the Lord. "Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay for yourself all the remains to be kept until morning." Then Moses said, "Eat today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field." So on the seventh day, there wasn't anything. Now, folks, this is way before the Ten Commandments. We have seen it already in creation. Now we're seeing it before the Ten Commandments. Because you see, many people say, well, the Sabbath is just for the Jews. Really? There was not a Jew in the creation. There wasn't one. You see, the Sabbath was established before that. Now he's establishing it again here before the Ten Commandments. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. There was not going to be a thing. Now, most people obeyed. They went out, they collected. They went out on the sixth day, they collected twice as much. And on the seventh day, most of them rested. But there was a few stragglers. You know, some of them that always want to test God a little bit. Maybe God forgot to turn off the faucet for the bread to come down. So let's go and check it out, see if there's any remains. So a few of them would come out and listen to what the Bible says. Exodus 16:28 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?'" Has God given the Ten Commandments here? No. That comes in Exodus 20. But you see, God is referring to his commandments already. He had given the principles. "And how long you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. So he's telling them, listen, I have done this for you. You go out there, you collect it on the sixth day, collect twice as much. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Again, this is way before the Ten Commandments. No Ten Commandments have come into place here. Sabbath was established at creation. The Sabbath was made sanctified. It was made holy. It will be also in heaven. It started in creation. It'll be on the new creation when God recreates this planet. God finally puts the Ten Commandments, finally puts the Sabbath with his own finger. He writes it down on the Ten Commandments. He gives it to Moses on those two tablets, and Moses passes it on to the people. Exodus 19:5 says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You see, if they were to follow the commands, if they were to obey the principles that God was giving them, they were going to be a special nation, a nation of priests, a spiritual nation. You see, folks, you know, when we connect with God, there's a natural reaction to that connection, and that connection is spirituality. Because we're reflecting God. Exodus 19:6 says, these are the words we shall speak to the children of Israel. So he spoke to them and he told them about the principles of God. He gave them the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11, we find the fourth commandment. Again, this is the only commandment that starts with the word remember. You know, when I was a kid, they taught us the Ten Commandments, and we had to memorize the Ten Commandments. And as a kid, you know, you don't understand. Each commandment starts with the word, you shall not. And if you're used to the old King James, it says, thou shall not. It even sounds more negative, you know. You shall not, thou shall not. Okay? So as a kid, you know, oh, man, God is, you know. But then you got to the fourth, and it said, remember. It was a little bit different. A little bit different. The word remember the seventh day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work on it, nor shall your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. You see, then he spelled it out for them. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it, specifically a reference back to Genesis. Sanctified that day. So now he gives it to them in the Ten Commandments. You see, the Sabbath is at the heart of the Ten Commandments. Because you see, God has always wanted to have a special relationship with us. God has always wanted us to have a day to remember that we have been created by the Creator God. Now, let me tell you something interesting. Let me just pause for a second here. Tell you something interesting. Darwin, we're talking a little bit about Darwin here tonight. You know, Darwin came up with the whole theory of evolution in the late 1830s and into the 40s. That's when his whole idea was reverberating. That's when it was going all over the world. Do you know what else was happening in the 1830s, 1840s? There was a great awakening going on in the whole world. There was great things happening. There were signs in the heavens. There were earthquakes. There was a great awakening. People all over the world, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, they were all looking and seeing the signs, and they figured that the second coming of Christ was coming. They had gone back. Luther had spoken fiercely against some of the dogmas of organized religion. Then the reformers came in and they brought truth. So about 1840, 1843, 1844, God sends a message yet to lift up the seventh-day Sabbath. No one wanted to hear that message. But there was a small group of people that accepted that message and accepted the truth that they had seen through the Bible, that they had seen through the reformers, and they started worshiping on that day and started to remember that day. But you see, the devil was trying to cover that up with evolution. It is no incident that the devil started evolution to contradict the message of God as the Creator. Because you see, that's the message that started going out in 1844. Isaiah 58:13 says, "If you cease to tread the Sabbath underfoot and keep my holy day free from all your affairs, if you honor it by not plying your trade, not seeking your own interests or attending to your own affairs, then you shall find joy in the Lord." So the Lord is wanting us to really enjoy this day. So what does forgetting God's memorial do for us? It really causes problems. Number one, we have a forgotten God. Number two, we have a meaningless life because we don't know where we come from. And if we don't know where we come from, we don't know where we're going. We lose identity. We have an identity crisis. Now, scientists have proven that if you work 6 days a week, and if you take one full day off where you don't do anything related to your work, you're going to be a better worker than if you work 7 days a week. They have proven it. Rest is good. You know, meditation is good. When you meditate on the things that God has created, that what He has done for you. So if we would just remember that God is our Creator and not go after false gods, not go after false religions, we would be much better. You see, this was the message that was given. God invites people today to remember that day, to worship on that day, to spend that time with Him. Isaiah 56:6 says, "Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." You see, God is bringing His people. Nowhere in the Bible is the seventh day called the Sabbath of the Jews. We don't find that in the Bible. It's not only for the Jews. It's for an entire world to remember a Creator. Mark 2:27 says, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." You see, what happened with the Jews is that they had gotten so focused on the day. They had made the day a burden. As a matter of fact, they had even written laws. For example, you could tie a one knot tie during the Sabbath. But you could not tie a double knot. That was breaking the Sabbath. You could carry maybe a little bit of sticks, but you couldn't carry three or four sticks. You see, if you were walking down the road and somebody was in a ditch, you couldn't help them. But if you were traveling with your sheep and your sheep fell into the hole, then you could help it. You see, if somebody fell down and broke their arm, but they had a previous disease that they had for life, you couldn't help them because it wasn't a life and death situation. You see, they had made the day a dreary, you know, just down the line, dot, dot, dot. You see, that's not what God intended for the day. The Sabbath was made for men. God gave us the Sabbath to enjoy the Sabbath. It was meant to be a celebration. It was meant to be a remembering the fact that He is the Creator. Oh, it was not supposed to be a dreary day. It was not supposed to be I mean, it was supposed to be a day of worship, a day of enjoyment, a day of feast. Oh, I remember when I was a kid. When Saturday came around, my mom worked. She still works. You know, she did. She has done housekeeping for years. And she'll clean 2, 3, 4 homes during the day. She'll work hard. She'll start at, you know, at sunrise, and she would finish by 8, 9 o'clock. So growing up, we hardly ever saw our mom because she was always working. So sometimes when she left in the morning, she would just leave a few little things cooked up so that when we got up, we could do our breakfast and then head off to school. And, you know, when we came back, you know, maybe she was by the house, or she would drop off and leave some other stuff so we could have food to eat. And if she didn't have time, then guess who got to prepare the food? Okay? So, you know, sandwiches was the order of the day. But come Saturday, oh man, Saturday we had a spread. I mean, there was chocolate, there was, you know, pies, there was, you know, tortillas, there was everything you can imagine. It was right there. Salsita, you know, just freshly made. It was all, yeah, it just makes my mouth water even now thinking about it. Okay? It was meant to be enjoyable. Exodus 20:10 says, the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You see, God gave us this day so that we could enjoy it, enjoy a relationship with Him. He says, even the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. You see, that's what He told the Jews, because as a matter of fact, the Jews were criticizing Jesus because of what He was doing on the Sabbath. You know that Jesus healed 7 people on the Sabbath. And He took a lot of flack from that, from the religious leaders. I have some sermons on that really, really open up your eyes as to why He did that. You see, He wanted to prove that He is Lord even of the Sabbath. It's still His Sabbath. Revelation 1:10 calls it the Lord's day. It's His day. Moreover, Ezekiel 20:12 says, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. He is the Creator, He is the Savior, and He gave us that day so that we would show that He is our God. And Ezekiel 20:20 says, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, and ye may know that I am the Lord your God. He gave it in the creation so that Adam and Eve would remember. It was to be there through all generations so that we would remember that we have a Creator. And now as we move into the new earth, Isaiah 66:22 says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I make new shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So guess what my name is going to be in heaven? Jose. Right? I don't know. God may give me a new name, a better name. I don't know. Isaiah 66:23 says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from what? One Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So God established the Sabbath at creation. He put it in the Ten Commandments as to remember, so it was supposed to be there. And God says that the Sabbath is even going to be on the new earth. Can you imagine? The whole universe coming before God. I'm going to enjoy it there because I'm not going to have to prepare a sermon every week. We'll get to listen to the best preacher in the whole world. Best preacher in the whole universe. It'll be exciting. You don't want to miss it. God says that we will come there and we will worship. You know, now I'm going to say something here that might get me in trouble. But can you imagine the angels singing, worshiping God? Oh, it's going to be awesome. You've never worshiped the way we're going to worship there. But you see, we have to come together and worship so that every Sabbath we have that, we remember that we have a Creator. Luke 4:16 says, so He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So what does custom mean? What does that mean? That means that he did it on a regular basis. He went to the synagogue. That would be a different word today. The same thing that we use for a church. A synagogue is a Jewish church. So he went to church on the Sabbath and he read from the scrolls. He read from the scripture. This is what the dictionary says. Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Which day is that? Saturday. That may come to a surprise to some of you, but that's what the dictionary says. The seventh day is Saturday. Okay? So here's the thing. God gave us the Sabbath, and from Adam to Moses, there is no change on the Sabbath. From Moses to Jesus, we find no change in the Sabbath, at least in the Bible. From Jesus to the disciples, we don't find a change in the Bible. From the disciples to now, okay, or to the Jews, even today, there is no change in the Sabbath. Would you believe that if God had made a change on the day that he sanctified, that he would not have put it in the Bible? I believe he would have. If it was that important, he would have put it in the Bible. He would have let us know to change the day. But the day of worship in the biblical record has not changed. It remains. It remains the Sabbath. It remains Saturday. Matthew 12:12 says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So here's the thing. It is good to do good things on the Sabbath. It doesn't have to be that you don't have to, you know, none of us walk around with sheep anymore or bulls down the street. But we have our cars. And what if your car breaks down? Is it okay to stop and help somebody alongside the road if it's your day of worship? I've done it. I showed up at church one time with grease on my pants. One of the persons says, Pastor, what are you doing? Well, there was an old lady that, you know, was struggling on the side of the road. It's good to do good on the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath so that we would do good. Again, he did 7 healings specifically on the Sabbath. That was to break some of the tradition. That was to break some of the mentalities that people had regarding the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day that we go doom and gloom. It's not a day that we pretend to be something that we're not. It's a day that we come in connection with the Creator God who loves us and wants us to be there with him, to worship him. You see, when he was crucified, Luke 23:54 says, and that day was the preparation day, and the Sabbath drew on. You remember the story? We just celebrated Easter last week. Everybody knows that Jesus Christ was crucified on the preparation day. Now, the Bible, again, does not give us names for the days. They came later on with the Greeks and the Romans. But the Bible just gives us the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, and the seventh day. Sometimes the sixth day is called the preparation day. And that was the preparation day. This is the day that Jesus died, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. So Jesus Christ died on a Friday afternoon. Sabbath was coming, so they take him real quick. They didn't want to, lost my control there. They did not want to break the Sabbath, so they take his body, put him in the tomb, cover the tomb, and they go because the Sabbath is coming. They wanted to observe the Sabbath. They laid him there, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So Jesus died on a Friday, correct? They went back, put him in the tomb before the sun set, because that was the day they kept time, before the sunset. They went back, prepared, they rested on the Sabbath, they didn't do anything, and then they returned on the first day. Jesus Christ himself had appointed John to take care of his mother. His mother was one of the ladies that was there preparing the spices. Now Luke 24:1 says, up on the first day of the week, which one is the first day of the week? Sunday. The first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared. Okay? He was no longer there. He had already resurrected. Okay, so this is the order of events. Number one, Friday is the preparation day. He rested on the Sabbath. He even rested while he was in the tomb. And then the first day of the week, he resurrected. Now, there's not a whole lot of pastors, there's not a whole lot of people that would debate on this. Now, some people try to make this into maybe having Jesus died on a Wednesday so that he then spends the 24-hour period. But Jesus did resurrect on the first day of the week. You're not going to find a whole lot of argument within religious circles that Christ resurrected on a Sunday. As a matter of fact, many people worship on Sunday today in memory of the resurrection, correct? Okay? But again, there was no change. Jesus would have let us know that. He even rested on the tomb on Saturday. So we know, we have that. He said it is finished when he died on the cross. And then he went and rested. He spent that time on the tomb. He rested on that tomb until that Sunday morning, that glorious morning that we remember last Sunday, that resurrection morning. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, we thought, or his disciples thought, that it was over. But in reality, it wasn't over. It was just the beginning. The resurrection would come. But again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. George Vandeman says in his book, A Day to Remember, page 40, how can we see his followers refusing to desecrate the sacred hours, even with their labor of love? How can we see him dying on the cross because the law could not be compromised even to save his own life? How can we stand in the blazing light of Calvary and say it doesn't matter? You see, folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that it does matter, because there's only one day out of the 7 days that God sanctified. There's only one day out of the seven that he made holy. Now, I've run into many people that say, Pastor, you know, it really doesn't matter as long as I go one day. Yeah, you can go one day. But the Bible has only one day that was made holy. Only one day that was sanctified. Only one day that was set apart. Only one day that says, remember. And it seems like the whole world has forgotten the day of worship. Now, for most people today, and it really is unfortunate, and I'm talking across the board here, for most people today, worship is about half an hour to 45 minutes. Even if they're lucky on any day of the week. They'll go out. You know, even when I was a kid, I remember we would go out and we were at the Catholic Church at that time. We would go out and go to Mass. And then after Mass, it was party time. It was, you know, my dad was a drinker, so guess what he did? He bought beer, and his friends came over, and they played, and they got drunk, and, you know, we kids, we went out and we played. You see, it was only a few minutes, maybe an hour at the max, but God has given us 24 hours from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday to remember that we were created by the all-powerful, by the almighty creator of the entire universe. And he has told us to remember that, because if we remember that, we will forever be connected with our God. Matthew 24:20 says, and pray that your flight may not be on the winter or on the Sabbath. Now, here's another thing that proves that the Sabbath was not changed after the resurrection. Jesus is speaking to them now after the resurrection, and he is getting ready to ascend to heaven. He's telling them, pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath. Now remember that this was in connection to the prophecy of the temple being destroyed. And the temple was destroyed in AD 70, about 40 years after the death of Christ. So Jesus was expecting his people to be still be keeping Sabbath or Saturday after his death. His disciples preached and held meetings on Saturday. Acts 17:1 says, they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as was his manner, or as was his custom, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So he came and he talked to them. He read, he presented the gospel. He presented Jesus as the almighty creator, as the one resurrected from the dead. He presented to them the gospel. Acts 13:42 says, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So he comes, he preaches, and then they come, hey, you know what? We really like what we're hearing. Won't you come back again and do it next Saturday? And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. So everybody came out and they were listening. You see, Paul held 84 meetings on the Sabbath just in the book of Acts. So you see, the Sabbath remain. The Sabbath even remains today. The Sabbath has not been changed. The day of worship has not been changed. From Genesis to Revelation, the Sabbath is a thread that lets us know that God is still our creator, that God knows. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The ones that keep the commands, the ones that remember, if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow me. If you love me, do what I've asked you to do. Worship on such a day. Now, this is a church here that worships on Saturday mornings. Every Saturday mornings, we're here to worship. Now, there's not many churches that worship on Saturday. That's not many. I can think of the Seventh-day Baptist, and I can think of any Jewish mosque. But other than that, there's not a whole many religions or denominations that worship on the Sabbath. This church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, believes in following the commandments of God and worshiping on the Sabbath, the true day of worship that God has given us to remember the Creator. And again, this does not make this church any better than any other church, because this is not something special just for us. This is a message that God is calling the whole entire world to see. The Sabbath, the day of worship that God set up. If you have never, ever worshiped on the Sabbath, I would invite you to come out and worship perhaps for the very first time on a Saturday tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Again, it's going to be a little bit different tomorrow, because we're going to be doing basically the same setup that we're doing tonight. The same, you know, there's going to be some singing at about 10:45. So if you enjoy singing, come out a little bit early at 10:45. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll go into it, and we will have a day of worship, a day to experience the Creator. As of right now, as the sun is setting, I think the sun is actually setting, right now the Sabbath day has started. It's a day to connect with God. It's a day to remember that we are created by an all-creator, an all-powerful Creator God. It's a day to connect with our families. It's a day to make those connections. I believe that if parents would connect more with their children, if husbands and wives would connect, if they would connect with God, if they would connect with a house of worship and worship God, I believe that we would have stronger families. I believe that we would have a stronger society. The day of worship, the day that God sanctified, the day that God set apart, is the seventh day, the Sabbath, Saturday. If you've never, ever seen the Sabbath from the Bible, I hope that you will go home this evening and spend some time thinking on what has been presented tonight. This is perhaps new light. I remember when I first heard this, it shook my world, because I had been worshiping on Sunday all of my life. And I realized that, whoa, there's something wrong here. And now I wanted to get the blessings of having that connection with God. So if you've never, ever worshiped on the Sabbath, I invite you to come out tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It's going to be a special presentation, One Life That Changed the World. Sabbath, the day of worship. Pray with me as we finish. Our Father, we thank you so much for giving us a day to remember, a day in a cycle every week to give us a reminder that you are our Creator. We come and we worship you, Lord, and right now we just thank you for this Sabbath day that is just starting. May we have a special connection with you. May we have a special time with our families. May we have a special connection as we worship. Please be with us this evening. Keep us safe and bring us back tomorrow, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.